the C or H? I am confused. What about those N's and K's? Do you use one or two? I remember when I was back in elementary school, a Spanish kid told me that it starts with a silent J, but Julio was wrong. Or maybe he was right. Can someone decide? Make up your mind.
Try spell check and Webster's. Is there an answer?
All right, this is Exhibit A on why we have far more Christmas songs than Hanukkah songs. In case you were curious. How do you spell Hanukkah? Chet Nun Vav Kaf Hey.
I was watching a spelling.
You asked, I told you.
On ESPN2.
You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, where we're going a little nutty, but it's appropriate. You know, this is one of the, if you can't go nutty the last 2 weeks of December, then you have no options for nuttiness or nuttitude. Welcome to the program. I am about to do you a big favor. And that's the truth, because I know the man's track record with me and with so many of you. I am really lucky to have a certain, is the word coterie? Is that the right word here? Of guests who are truly extraordinary in their fields, like Alison Armstrong in the male-female arena. And Michael Richman is a cardiothoracic surgeon. Is that correct? Did I get that? I know, but I wanted to memorize it. I know it's written. I'm trying to memorize his credentials. He's been on enough for me to know it by heart. And runs, among other things, the Center for Cholesterol Management in West Los Angeles. His website is lipidcenter.com. I'm telling you, I you know from the last hour how strict I am on truth issues. Oh, by the way, I got to make an announcement. I made a mistake yesterday. I said that scientists were saying that these new planets found by NASA would likely have life on them. They were not saying that. That's what the press was saying. The scientists were, in fact, saying that there's very little likelihood of life on them. So I wanted to make that clear because I am a very big stickler for telling the truth. Here's the truth. This man saves lives, and I wouldn't be surprised if I am one of the lives that he has saved. Not that I was ill. That's the whole point. I'm as healthy as the proverbial horse. But a lot of proverbial horses drop dead one day of some heart incident. It's not incident you guys use. What is the word you folks use?
Event.
Event. Yes, event. Yes, I love that. Event. Some heart event. And it all began, didn't it, with the with our man on...
Tim Russert.
Yes, Tim Russert, who I believe, I say this with both pain and some degree of humility, even though it has nothing to do with my achievements, but the humility of never knowing what fate lies in store for any human. But I do believe if Michael Richman had been his doctor, I think he would be alive today. And the reason I have given you is, and we're going to deal with this first and then many other health issues. And this applies to anyone of any age. Is that correct, Dr. Richman?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people at 40 think, oh, I'll worry about this when I'm 70 or 60 or even 50, but not now. But that's a big mistake. We all know of cases where some healthy 40-year-old, either through the news or through our own extended families or friends, and just, I know of a few where a man in his 40s, seemingly perfectly healthy, just has a, if you will, heart event and dies. And one of the reasons is that we don't measure for something that is a killer. And we measure for things that are important, But the most important indicator is not. And it has to do with particles, what are called particles. By now, I can explain it 92.6% as well as Dr. Richman can. But let him do it. And first of all, Dr. Richman, it is always great to have you. Every time you're on, I do believe, and I know you believe this, okay, you are a modest man, and I mean that sincerely. You are. But you are quite an accomplished physician, and you are tremendously devoted to your patients, almost obsessively so, and which is great for us. May not be great for you.
Thank you.
But it is great for us. And you deserve it. You're an extraordinary doctor and man. And this is a life-saving piece of information that you, my listeners, are about to receive about something we don't measure for that should be. So why don't you explain the particles issue with the – because the cars is the perfect way of explaining it.
Right.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think talking about heart disease, obviously – we always seem to focus on it, but we come back to it because it still is the number one killer.
For both men and women?
Absolutely.
See, why do people so much more associate heart disease with men?
Just because women have always traditionally taken a secondary role in society. I mean, you can't believe how many people come into my office and as a couple, and I'm seeing the man and the woman sitting right there. And it's never even brought up that she may be overweight or she has high blood pressure. And it's not till spending time with me that all of a sudden she says, hey, maybe I should have this done. So, you know, I think maybe it has to do with a lot of traditional roles.
Really? That's I don't know what the reason is. I don't have that view. I just really did think when you think of so-and-so having a heart attack, you fill in a male name.
Right.
But it's not correct.
If you add up the next seven causes of death in women, it does not even equal the number that die from heart disease.
Wow. And so, it doesn't know race either, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So everybody should care about this. Go ahead.
Correct. Well, you know, the interesting thing is that everybody always tells me I'm on the fringe. And you know I'm not on the fringe. You know, I mean, I really do follow the literature. But there's also – there's an art of medicine and there's also – logic. And, you know, I realized, as we've talked about a long time ago, I don't need to publish a paper to make myself feel good, because you can get a paper published pretty much wherever you want. You know, there's very few peer review journals which are reviewed by other experts in your field, and those are legitimate journals. But there's lots of many more throwaway journals where you can pay to get your article in. So unfortunately, the media focuses on just an article.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, when we talk about particles, heart disease is the number one killer. And yes, we do regular lipid testing in the United States. Now, interestingly, a couple weeks ago in the media, it said that 10-year-olds now, every 10-year-old should have just a regular cholesterol test, where before it had been recommended 20-year-olds. Okay, now even think about it. How many 20-year-olds are having their cholesterol screened? Minimal. Now we're going down to 10, as I think should happen. Well, it's not going to happen. You know, and obviously we just talked a minute ago, I would love to set up a nonprofit where every 10-year-old in the United States gets their lipid screened. At least that would identify people. The problem is...
Explain lipid.
Lipid is just the fat. It's just another word for, generally speaking, cholesterol.
And, okay. And again, even explain that. That's... Every term I want
right.
to be
okay. Well,
be
clear well, to people. Let's say when you go
everybody
to your doctor,
Everybody heard the term cholesterol. I bet 1% know what it is.
Cholesterol is an essential ingredient in our body that is necessary in every single cell for the production of the membrane of a cell, and we make hormones from it. All our say steroid hormones, estrogen, testosterone have a cholesterol backbone. So while it's essential, if you make too much, it's a bad thing.
Because?
That's what clogs the artery.
And what is the relationship between cholesterol and lipid?
It's just lipid is just a general term for fats, if you will.
That
cholesterol comes under the subdivision.
Right, but those fats become hardened and block your blood flow. Is that the issue?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about it more specifically, but basically the cholesterol if you will, goes into the artery wall and then narrows the wall.
Right.
If you have an acute rupture, then you get an acute heart attack.
What killed Tim Russert?
He had a plaque rupture from the cholesterol. The plaque ruptured and he had an acute heart attack, and he was probably dead before he even hit the ground.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. This is a Christmas and Hanukkah gift to you, and that's what it really is, this time with Dr. Michael Richman. If you have any questions, 1-8-PRAGER-776. But when we explain to you, especially this test that I strongly recommend, you'll thank us. Back in a moment. Dennis Prager here. This is the biannual We're Going to Save Your Life show on the Dennis Prager Show. Twice a year we have Dr. Michael Richman on, and I couldn't have thought of a better time than when you're going to eat yourselves sick. Actually, I was listening to some doctor on a radio show saying there really are a lot more heart attacks Christmas season. Isn't that interesting? He had a whole host of theories aside from the eating part, but there's a lot of anxiety in this time. Anyway, so it's a good time to have Dr. Michael Richman on. He is, for whatever it is worth to you, he is my doctor. I say it with a laugh because I'm very hesitant to make such a statement, but it's the truth, and I like telling you the truth. He has popularized a test that you don't have, that you don't have not taken. I didn't even know it existed. And many of you, as a result of this program, have decided to do and realize that if you have a terrific cholesterol reading, you may be at a terrible risk like a Tim Russert was and not know about it. And, of course, every time you're on, I always ask, why don't all doctors recommend this? Before you answer that, let's talk about the issue of what number they don't have, my listeners, that they need to have vis-a-vis their cholesterol.
Okay, just quickly, like we've talked about, every other tombstone in a cemetery is a cardiovascular death. So that's 1 in 2 people.
It's amazing.
We also know the CDC publishes that 50% of people who've had heart attacks have, quote, normal cholesterol. So what that means is 50% really don't. So to me, that's complete sense. 50% of people are dying from heart disease, yet we haven't made a dent in it despite doing 120 million regular cholesterol tests a year in the United States, and that's going up. And in the next century, the prevalence of heart disease is expected to double. Well, you would think in a modern society like this, we would be making a dent in it. And in 1967, Dr. Friedrichsen, who ran National Institutes of Health, the cardiac division, where the classification for cholesterol came from, published the lead article in the New England Journal of Medicine that said, essentially, this is not a cholesterol disease. This is a disease of the carriers that carry the cholesterol. Hence the analogy that I made. It's the number of cars on a freeway that cause a traffic jam, not the number of people in cars.
Right. So to put it in total layman's terms, and you'll correct me if in any way I'm not precise, what you are measured for, or I measured for, when we take a typical cholesterol test is the number of passengers. But who cares? What clogs up a highway is not the number of passengers, it's the number of vehicles. This is not what we measure for, the carriers or the vehicles.
Correct.
And it's almost, as a layperson, it blows my mind. How has medicine gotten away from, if what you're saying is true, and I believe it is, how has it not done the obvious?
Well, I mean, a couple things is this, it's beyond, you know, there's certain truths and then there's certain things that we wonder about. This is something that is not even up for discussion. The model of atherosclerosis, in other words, how atherosclerosis occurs, is not up for discussion. There's no doubt that the way that cholesterol, and this is the big thing that people don't understand, it has to get into the wall of the artery. In other words, if you take a tube, the cholesterol is not where the blood flows. It actually has to go through the wall. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Right, and you know just because we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be carried by these carriers through the wall. Well, it's simple. There's a term we all dread, but we remember from biology called diffusion. Some people think of it as osmosis, but it's really called diffusion. And that just means things flow from greatest to least. So if you have a lot of cars, no matter how many people there are, floating around where the blood is, and then once it gets inside the wall of the artery where it does its damage, it's eaten up, so there's none. Now there's no cars once they get eaten up. There's a net flux, just a net gradient where all these cars are coming into the wall and depositing their passengers, their cholesterol. And so in 67, this was written about in the New England Journal, the premier journal. But yet today, there's still arguments over, is it necessary? Is it not necessary? And what it comes down to is really, I think, there probably isn't so much discussion about is it necessary in higher risk patients, but then we get into who's higher risk and who's lower risk. The argument comes in is it necessary in lower risk patients? Okay, is it cost effective? But as we know, and we've talked about, even
well, what does it cost? $100?
Well, even if you were going to pay cash, insurance pays
yes.
for it, it's,
no, no,
it's 90-something
okay.
dollars.
Well, then how could it not be cost-effective? Well, you take a loan from your brother-in-law. I mean, if half the tombstones are heart disease and half of the heart disease was not traced earlier because we didn't do this test, how could $99 not be worth it?
Well, you know what I always say?
I'd go without lunch for 2 weeks.
No, I say a manicure, pedicure, Beverly Hills
yes.
with a tip.
Yeah.
Is what, 70 something dollars?
Well, that's Beverly Hills. But no, of course, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if that's your lunch. Go without lunch. But to me, and there's no investment here in the people who do this.
We don't make any money
yes,
from this.
Yes, please understand, folks. I hope to one day.
Right.
I want to invest in such a thing. But right now, it's not, it's just pure advice, sincere advice. I took it. I take it regularly. It's measured.
It's a blood test. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, when I argue with the, quote, experts, I guess I'd like to think of myself as an expert, and even though I am on the editorial board of the Lipid Journal, I guess, you know, I'm not an expert because I don't spend my life writing papers. I spend my life taking care of patients, and people who take care of patients are not considered by the traditional medical establishment as, quote, experts.
Right.
You got to have a good set of slides to be an expert.
Right.
But essentially, to me, there is not one test that I could take that provides more information. And this is blood. This is not radiating people. This is not calcium scoring or CT angiograms, which are dubious at best. I mean, I would never get one personally. But you're checking somebody's blood, and by measuring the lipoproteins, the number of cars, the number of particles, every single person is identified who has high cholesterol. Nobody is missed. So to me, now you're identifying everybody, whether they want treatment or not. That's their choice.
I didn't come to you with high cholesterol.
No, normal.
Exactly, exactly. All right, we'll take your calls. Dr. Michael Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N, West Los Angeles. Is my doctor and many others as well. We'll take your calls. I hope you will. We got to tell people how they can. I mean, what do they look it up? They tell their own cardiologist. How did they get the test? Because that's obviously what's on people's minds. Back in a moment.
Our finest gifts we bring. Ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps.
You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. A Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. And if you are an atheist, a very meaningful solstice to you. I always feel that I neglect our atheist listeners, and that's not right. Actually, to their credit, not all my atheist listeners have bought into this nonsense of celebrating the winter solstice and understand that they too can celebrate the national holiday of Christmas or if a Jewish atheist, Hanukkah. Welcome back to the program. It's a gift to have Michael Richman, Dr. Richman, on, cardiothoracic surgeon in West Los Angeles, head of the Center for Cholesterol Management, and director of the website lipidcenter.com. I want to take calls. I just want one final, not final, but before the calls, one final question. Where do people get the test for the particles as opposed to just the usual cholesterol test that is not informative enough?
You know, that's we always talk about it. It's a big issue.
It is. I know.
I mean, the test is called the lipoprofile. It's basically, it's an MRI of the blood. The problem is that, I mean, I think LabCorp, which is a lab, offers it. Okay, you have to specifically ask for it, and they send it out. The problem is most physicians, and I will tell you 99% of the physicians, don't understand it and don't know how to interpret it. So really then, it's a worthless test. And that really becomes the issue that we've talked about. So,
well, isn't there a lab, what is it, Atlanta?
Well, I mean, the lab that I use is in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, Richmond, Virginia.
And then they send it out. But the problem, like I said, if your physician doesn't know what it is and doesn't know how to interpret it,
right,
then
it's a useless test.
Right, right. So, you know, one other thing I just wanted to mention, because we haven't talked about it, and I just think...
Well, if they send you an email through the Lipid Center, will you be able to help them
out
on this?
Well, a lot of people, what I've been doing now is, since obviously I can't practice medicine in other states, is they'll get it done, they'll call me, I'll spend some time as an interpretation, and then guide them what to tell their physician.
Okay.
But just one other thing, familial hypercholesterolemia, okay? It's the number one most common genetic disease in the United States, but nobody knows that. 1 in 300 people have familial hypercholesterolemia, and only 20% of people are diagnosed with it. And it is the leading cause of premature cardiovascular death. This you can pick up just by regular screening, but nobody even understands the disease. So, you know, my advice in the new year is, even at least just start out with regular cholesterol testing, because if you have a disease where 1 in 300 people have it and it leads to premature death, the quarterback of Occidental College a few months ago, I don't know if you read in the newspaper, he was 28 years old, just got married, and he died on a treadmill in Florida 3 weeks after his wedding of a heart attack. And he said, you know, all the Division III records guarantee you he had familial hypercholesterolemia and did not know it. So, I mean, it's that big of a problem.
It's very disconcerting when people can be helped. That's look, if there are tragedies in life that can't be helped, then they can't be helped. But where they can, they need to be. Obviously, people in the Los Angeles area could just come to you, mm-hmm. but people around the country need to find a doctor who would know where to send it to Richmond. Is that the case here?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a call. By the way, forgive me, callers. There's one more critical point. One more critical point. And that is, there's a lot of propaganda. And propaganda doesn't mean always false. Let's put it this way. There are many statements out there against taking anti-cholesterol drugs. And there are a lot of people who say you can do it on your own through diet. If you decide to live on Brussels sprouts till you die, you could probably lower cholesterol. If you eat normally, you probably can't. Is that a fair statement?
Not exactly.
Tell me where it's not.
Well,
correct.
As you know, you met with Dominique. You know, I have a multidisciplinary approach.
I thought you're a big advocate of the drugs that lower cholesterol.
Right. I mean, that's the mainstay. And, you know, any physician who knows anything about cardiovascular disease knows that medications are the mainstay. In fact, you know, my nutritionist, dietitian, who you met with, who's wonderful, Dominique Adair, which is one of the services I provide for free.
All right, you'll tell in a moment. Dennis Prager here. And before we continue with Dr. Michael Richman and two huge questions, and then what I'll do is to try to get as many of you as possible. I may just summarize what you say, so stay on, because I want to at least get your questions if I can't get your voice. Let's go, though. We have been raising funds for the Salvation Army through my website all week. There's the Red Kettle at DennisPrager.com. I'm a very big believer in this organization. The chairman of the Development Committee for the Salvation Army, Metropolitan Corps, Los Angeles area, and he called in earlier. We didn't get a chance to take his call. John McCloskey, sir, it's an honor to talk to you. This is Dennis Prager.
Well, Dennis, it's an honor to speak with you, too, and I want to thank you for your very generous support of the Army.
Well, you're very welcome, sir. Ever since I was a kid, I admired the people who stood in front of stores. I grew up in New York, where it's quite ubiquitous, at least it was then, and I thought you were as much a part of the season as Santa Claus or nativity scenes or anything.
Well, we are, and the Kettle is one of our biggest fundraisers during the year. Earlier this year, we had a luncheon called the Christmas Kettle Kickoff, where we had a kettle on the table, and the participants at the table at the end of the luncheon contributed to the kettle. And at that one event, we had over 300 people and raised over $200,000.
Wow. Well, that's our goal here. I'd like to come and match it with the kettle at DennisPrager.com, and I re-invite my listeners to please do so before this year is over and ideally before Christmas.
Dennis, thanks very much. You know that they just don't feed the hungry and they don't give housing to the homeless. They have transitional programs.
Yeah, that's the point. Yes.
That's the point.
You change their lives.
That is so
not
true.
Just feed their stomachs. Well, God bless you, sir, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Dennis. I'll be contributing to your kettle.
Good. So will I.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Good people there. Dr. Michael Richman, very quickly here. I had said that a lot of people think that you don't take, if you just change your diet, it'll knock down your cholesterol to normal levels or desirable levels. I understood, and maybe I'm wrong, from you and from reading I have done, that by and large it's genetic, the cholesterol levels we have, and there's not much we can do with diet alone, which is why one of the reasons you prescribe medicines. So tell us very quickly what your take is on that.
Yes, it is mostly a genetic component. That's why we have several vegans who Dominique and I both see together, who's my nutritionist, who have awful numbers, and they're vegans. They eat no animal protein, but their cholesterol numbers or their
right,
particle numbers.
Vegans, remember, is not only no fish, no fowl, and no meat, but no dairy.
Nothing.
And they should have zero ratings, so to speak.
Correct.
Okay.
The Japanese have a much, Japanese in Japan have a much lower incidence of heart disease. And I do a test called the Omega-3 Index, which is also a brand-new test where you're able to measure the amount of omega-3 fatty acids within the membrane of a red blood cell. And there's a direct correlation with the amount that you have and cardiovascular disease.
In other words,
disease.
The higher amount, the better.
Right. Japanese have about over 8%.
Because they live on fish.
Predominantly, yes.
Right.
And we have, in the typical American diet, 3 to 5%. So that's something actually that I've gotten really into. I don't know any other people that do an omega-3 index because it's a brand new test. Mm-hmm. But now we're actually able to quantify the amount of fish oil within a red
which
blood
I take
cell.
As a supplement through you as well.
Right.
Finally, I keep saying this, I feel bad, but these have to be addressed. When you said half of Americans die of a cardiovascular event, I think a lot of people think, wait a minute, four of my relatives died, none of them had a heart attack. What do you mean by cardiovascular event?
Obviously, cardio is cardiac, so that's the pump that pumps through all the blood vessels. So when I say cardiovascular, I'm talking anything related to the arterial system, which could mean a stroke, loss of a limb, kidney failure resulting from ultimately atherosclerosis. But a good example is what's the most common cause of erectile dysfunction? It's atherosclerosis of the small vessels to the penis. So you're having the same process that goes on there is going on in the arteries of the heart. So it's basically, it's disease of the arterial vasculature. So cardiovascular.
Okay, just wanted to make that clear to everybody. All right, so let's see here. Let's go to Katie in Gilbert, Arizona. Dr. Richman, here's Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hello, Dennis. Thank you so much for doing this show. I always appreciate it when you do it because it's a good reminder.
Yep.
Okay, 50% of people with heart disease or cardiovascular disease then have normal cholesterol readings. So does the patient with a high cholesterol reading always have a high lipoprotein particle reading?
Great question.
No, they don't, as a matter of fact, because if you remember, one thing that we forgot to mention, I just want to get across really quickly. Everybody walks around talking about their total cholesterol. It's supposed to be less than 200. Greater than 200 is bad. Believe it or not, that has never been in any guideline whatsoever written that that's what you look at. That's a total misnomer. In the 1980s, when the whole cholesterol campaign started from the American Heart Association, it was discovered that those people that had a total cholesterol less than 200 had slightly decreased risk of an event. Above 200, slightly increased risk of an event. Not that you should look at that as a guideline. My point is that if total cholesterol is a measure of good plus bad, if your good cholesterol is high, your total cholesterol is going to be high. That doesn't mean that your lipoprotein level is going to be high.
The lipoprotein, again, are the carriers, not the passengers.
Right.
Just want everybody to know, and that's why you need a lipoprotein test. And very few doctors, sadly, are aware of it. I don't blame them. It's just the issue is not blame. It's the issue is to make you aware of it, just as I have been made aware of it. And I am very happy, to say the least, and so is my wife. Back in a moment. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here, and I'm going to take time from Prager University just to get to as many questions for Dr. Richman as possible. Don't hang up so that I can read. If you hang up, you disappear, and I want to be able to read your question. So, all right, in Norristown, Pennsylvania, John, is the test you perform on dangerous particles called the lipoprotein little A test? If not, what is it called?
No, I do that as part of just a battery of tests, but in order to measure LP little A, as it's called, you don't have to do NMR lipoprofile. Many labs do the LP little A.
But again, what is the name of the one you want people to take?
An NMR lipoprofile.
NMR lipoprofile.
Yes.
Thank you. El Cajon, California. Mike, is there a difference between generic statins and the name brands such as Lipitor?
I personally believe there is. I think that the FDA still, I know a lot of people have a problem with the FDA, but the FDA still regulates the big pharmaceutical companies. And generic statins, for example, generic Lipitor, there's two companies making it now. One is Pfizer, and the other one is a company in India. And we all saw 60 Minutes probably a few months ago, and they were talking about generic drugs. The manufacturing process is a lot of places iffy. So I think they're definitely, at least in this, brand is more important than generic.
Diane, San Antonio, Texas, is cholesterol from processed food the same as cholesterol from organic grass-fed food?
That's too complicated of a question to answer in a quick second.
Okay, fine. Now, Thomas in New Jersey, why do 50% of people die of coronary heart disease not have high cholesterol? That was the theme of the hour. Because they haven't had their carriers of cholesterol measured, rather their passengers of cholesterol measured.
Absolutely. So in other words, those 50% really do have high cholesterol. Just traditional testing misses 50% of the population. It identifies them as being normal when they're really not normal.
Is there any relationship, Chuck in Ontario, California, is there any relationship with EKG? I just got a month ago showing heart attack, even though I wasn't, and my replacement of pulmonary valve. Or is that clear at all? or we'd have to have him explain.
Yeah, that's much more involved.
Dr. Michael Richman, I say with sincerity, God bless you. I think that you have prolonged my life, and my whole family thanks you, or at least all the members of my family who want my life prolonged, thank you.
Well, I'm grateful for everything you've done for me too, Dennis. Thank you.
God bless you, sir. And to all of you, my listeners, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and see you tomorrow.